Good morning. Appreciate the worship team leading us as we prepare today for our final lesson in the book of Ephesians. We have been going through, as Al mentioned, God's plan for a lot of things as we've looked through these six chapters in detail over these last 13 weeks. And if you are just joining us today, all of this is online on the podcast, videos, you can see it. Catch up, I encourage you. It's been a great and inspiring and practical study in God's Word. We talked about God's plan for the church, God's plan for creation from the beginning, God's plan for rescue. We had Al do that one. Alfredo talked about the plan for the many. Ross and Manami talked about the plan for the one. We talked about inner strength, the plan for God to give us a strong backbone of character. We talked about relationships in part one and part two, kind of a little mini series within of God's plan for the way that we connect with each other like ligaments. It was great to hear Mark and Leslie on that as well. We talked about righteousness, God's plan for righteousness in our lives. Ross was up here. Alan Glenda spoke about marriage and family. Also God's plan for freedom. Fredo was back up on God's plan for protection, putting on that spiritual armor. And today we close out with God's plan for service, for service. And I'd like to jump right into the text, so open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have one, you can download it real quick. You can look on with someone next to you. We want to look at this. I'll have a version on the screen from the New Revised Standard, but whatever you're comfortable with, read that in front of you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 through 24. This is the last few verses of the book. So we're going to take this, these few verses, break them down, apply it, and then we have something special today that we're going to do a little differently after church. So here we go. Verse 21. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus will tell you everything. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace be to the whole community and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And in some versions, it says, amen. All right, so who is Tychicus and why would you name your child that? Let's break this down a little bit. There he is in the middle with his crew. Tychicus, actually in the Greek, means chance. And so we're going to dress him up a little bit today. And for the purposes of our study, we will call him Chance the Gospel Rapper. Believe it or not, he is an Asian disciple. That's talked about in Acts chapter 20. He is Paul's traveling buddy, and he loves to rap about God's word. That is one of his jobs. He's a courier of the word of God. He's a minister. He's a messenger. He literally brought the word to them. Sometimes you hear that vernacular, bring the word. He was bringing the scrolls, the letters from Paul to the different cities and reading the scriptures that we just read in living rooms, in catacombs, and in covert church services all around the area where the Christian movement was beginning. He was a preacher. He was a relief preacher. He would rotate in to replace other preachers that were running churches so that they could rotate out and either travel to go encourage other churches or do what they needed to do to connect back with Paul, get more letters, and get them out. He rotated into Colossae, into Crete, and now this Tychicus is rotating into Ephesus. At the time, Timothy was leading the church there. Paul was in Rome on house arrest. Paul's asking for Timothy, I need you back. I need your encouragement. Tychicus, go and rotate in for him like a relief pitcher in baseball. So that's kind of the context of what's going on. Chance, the gospel rapper, is on fire, going from house to house, living room to living room. And I love how much of a servant Chance is. In Colossians 4, 7 through 9, Chance actually has about five passages about him in the New Testament. You said, I've never heard of this guy. Well, here you go. Chance Tychicus, you can say it any way you want. He was considered beloved by Paul in Colossians 4. He was considered faithful. He was called a fellow syndoulos, which would remind you of a lesson we did a couple of weeks ago where we talked about a doulos, which is a servant or a slave. We talked about that hard word and what that means what it meant then, what it means now, how to understand it biblically, this idea of a bond servant. And so what Paul is saying here is Tychicus is my boy. He's part of my crew. We roll together. I totally trust him. He's an amazing doulos. He is a servant. He's actually the one who pleads Onesimus' case and then travels with this runaway slave. That would have been very dangerous. Again, he's trustworthy. Paul would only delegate this kind of work to the most honest, the most trustworthy, most transparent of all his companions. I love to think about Tychicus and the five scriptures that talk about him and how it applies to me. You know, he is the Word. And I think about, we are the Word. Someone should write a song. We are the Word. It's already been written. And we are the servants. All right? We are the Word. We are the servants. What does that mean? We are the living Word. It's what the Bible says in Romans, that we are our bodies, our actions, our decisions that we make as children of God. We are the living Word to our generation. That we bring the gospel message as we go, as we interact with people. And I gotta imagine that Chance the gospel rapper had a lot of the letters memorized. Because as he went from place to place, he would be repeating the same words from the same letters as he went from spot to spot. All right? It was not, imagine him like one of your favorite hip hop artists, all right? Imagine if this hip hop artist got up on stage and had a sheet of paper to help him or her get through the lyrics. Now, granted, we have open mics and poetry slams and things like that where, you know, you give them a little break. But if you're a professional artist, you gotta be off book, right? You gotta know your stuff, you gotta know your lyrics. So he is spitting bars from memory here. Imagine him just with the group. You got kids over there and old folks, and they're kind of covert because no one can find out that there's a Christian meeting happening in your place, or else the Romans will come and slit your throats. And so he's in there, and there's an energy, and there's an excitement. And I can't imagine that he's up there just with his scroll, just like, and then they went ahead, and then Paul loves you. No! He's the living Word. It's like, guys, I, Paul. He's like a method actor. I, Paul. He gets into character. Oh, Paul's got a little limp, right? He's a little older. And he's got a limp. And there's all these descriptions about Paul. It's like, I, Paul, am in house arrest. But I love you so much that I had to get this letter to you to tell you that every time I pray about you, I thank God for your faith. Amen. And the kids are on the edge of their seat. What? He's talking about us. This is first century entertainment, by the way. This is the sophists and the philosophers of their day. And a lot of the Christians like Justin Martyr that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that was their trade before they converted. So they use that trade, they leverage their resources, and they bring the Word alive. Is that how you read the Bible? When you share the scriptures with a friend, is that how it comes across? The passion of a method actor on fire, Daniel Day-Lewis, Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he is Abraham Lincoln. You didn't see that movie? You're like, what is he talking about? It's a small known movie, made a little bit of money, got a few awards. That's the level of passion that we bring when we are the couriers, the messengers of the living Word. Bring in the passion. You gotta ask yourself, when you open up the scriptures, is that what you feel? It comes alive. And when you share it, it's alive. It's living and active. We are the Word, and we are the servants. We serve, that's what we do. What are we a part of right now? It's called a worship what? Or a church. And we think a lot about church and worship, but what about the second word? So the question I ask you is, how do you serve when you're in church service? Because oftentimes, we come to church and we get served. And we say, ooh, I liked what I got today. Man, he was especially funny. I really liked that analogy that he used. Oh man, that was really cool what she shared about her life. And we kind of have this topical, surfacey conversation about church as if it was meant to serve or entertain us. And the question really has got to be, what did you come to serve with today? What did you bring with you today? Did you bring your talent? Did you bring time? Did you bring some encouragement? Did you bring some cookies? That's big. Food is big.
I'm not being funny. Food is huge. It's very encouraging. Who's encouraged by food? Okay, enough said. Enough said. We are the servants. We are the word. We are the ones to make it. No, I'm not going to get into it. And yeah, we serve the community. We serve each other. But ultimately, the reason we do that is because we serve God. That's why we serve. It's what we do. Have you ever been in a situation where you're at a restaurant and the servers are terrible? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I know we have servers in the room today. I'm sure you are not in that category. If you are a server, I'm sure, especially, man, Christian servers are the best because they know how to serve. I believe that. Okay, so you've been in a situation where you've been waiting for the food or waiting for a menu, or maybe you feel like another table is being served before you. You ever been there? I want to show you a little video right now of a situation that was caught on camera with a server that maybe wasn't doing so hot serving, all right? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all set to eat?
Where's our menu there?
Oh, so you don't know what you want yet?
We didn't see a menu yet.
Oh, okay, I'll grab you one.
Our water?
Yes, be right back.
Those are high school boys. That's why I just kind of know.
Something's wrong.
You haven't bought us a menu yet.
There you go.
We only get one menu.
Oh, do you need two?
Absolutely. She needs one and I need one.
Oh.
You gotta do better than what you're doing, man.
Of course. I'll be right back.
No water.
Here's those two waters that you ordered.
No, they ordered the waters.
Here, you guys aren't thirsty?
We have no more water.
Okay. That's for you.
And they are out. I'm gone. You ever been there? And by the way, there's six waters on the table now. Now, this is like hidden camera, all that kind of stuff. But the two people sitting there, that's real. They're really reacting to this craziness, right? But we have been in those situations. We've been there where we start to get frustrated. This is supposed to be a server who's, you know, has certain expectations, and we can get a little entitled, and I get all that, but he's supposed to do his job, right? And he is not doing his job. We are servants, and we got to make sure we do our job. And I want to make reference to what we did a couple of weeks ago. I showed you this map. This is the Roman Empire, and just to remind you that in the first century, the idea of the bond servant was so common that up to 50% of the Roman Empire were these bond servants. For those of you there, you guys remember what we talked about. And so if we shoved all of the douloi into one area of the Roman Empire, it would look like this. That's how many of the Roman citizens that were sort of taken over by the Roman armies and the emperor over the many years that they dominated civilization. That's what it would have looked like. And honestly, if we take a picture of the church, it's similar. Let me explain what I mean by that. We talked about church service, all right, serving in the church. Let me show you a couple graphs, and Rebecca helped me kind of lay this out. She's awesome with analytics, and I'll try to explain it. So if you took a glance at church and just very simple, kind of generic look at what it takes to make this work that we're a part of right now. Basically, we got about 20% of the church membership. We got about 300 members here that are serving right now downstairs as teachers or security or coordinators in the children's ministry. So one out of every five of the members of the church is serving in the kids' ministry, right? Okay. Ushers, thank you. You see them all ready to bring to serve you communion, right? Right? To serve. This is all about service. We have crew, right? The AV crew. We have our tech crew in the back and projection that is working hand in glove with the Time Center staff. Thank you, Time Center staff, for being incredible servants. You guys are amazing. They didn't know they were being called out for being biblical servants. Well done. All right. We have a welcome team, make people feel greeted and warmly welcome as they come in. So this is just church at a glance. If you were to say, man, we need about 50% douloi, active service in the church in order to sort of make this work. You guys with me so far? But let me give you another graph. This is a real projected need for every member of the church to be actively serving. Let me reference those two top scriptures in Ephesians 4 and 6. As each part does its work, not as 50% does its work, as each of the 100%. So 100% of the 100% doing its work. The whole community, as Paul is addressing the church in Ephesus at the end of his letter. So you say, well, I can't read all that, John. That's the point. There's so many needs that it's overwhelming. So that's why we need everyone to decide, where can I help? How can I plug in? People that visit, you know, a team to visit those that are in the hospital, a prayer team, community outreach, special events, purity groups, our benevolent team. Some of these are going on, some of them aren't. Elders training. We have some that are in this. What about youth and family? We have all these amazing workers and mentors that help our children, the worship team, transition, translation, teen mentors, the campus ministry, maybe shepherds, working with single moms or senior saints or other specialized groups, things that we want to honor, parts of our ministry that deserve special honor, but we have nothing going on because of this. But let me give you another more accurate view of actually what that looks like. Because when we start breaking it down, we have those that are such servants. They're such douloys. We got double douloys. So they say, man, we got trimesters, so three semesters in a given year that we rotate, right? Just like Tychicus came in and rotated out for Timothy. We have children's ministry work on a trimester system, so the teachers go down. You know, they go out for the first 4 months, and then they rotate out. But what happens is those people are such great servants that they go from the children's ministry to the crew. And they might end up being in all three trimesters serving. And that doubling up and sometimes tripling up means that actually only 23% of the membership of our church is doing the tasks that are needed for the whole church. So I want to remind you that when you're in that situation at the restaurant and the servers don't serve, you say, this is unacceptable. And when you see a singer that doesn't sing or a football player that doesn't play or a worker that doesn't work or in this sense, a Christian that doesn't Christ, then it's unacceptable. And in the words of the gentleman,
you got to do better than what you're doing, man.
You got to do better than what you're doing, man. I got to challenge the members of the church. If you're visiting with us, man, we'd love for you to serve too. Jump in. The water's fine. But some of us, we haven't served in a specific way in a long time. And I get it. There are a lot of reasons for that. But we are called as those who make Jesus Lord of our lives to serve. And that starts here and now with the community of believers that we're a part of. And we can, and we will. And for those that haven't in a while, maybe today we're going to get that kicked off again. Chance the Rapper has thrown down the gauntlet. And what we're going to do today, and we've been announcing it the last couple of weeks, is we're going to have what we're calling a service fair. Fair is a fun word, right? It's like a carnival. Service, not so fun, but we make it fun because it's Jesus, and that's what we do. So we put the two words together, and we give you a lot of cookies, and we say, service fair! So what's going to happen is I'm going to end early. Yay. All right. I'm going to end early in just a couple minutes. And we're going to take our communion together, remember Jesus. And then we're going to kick you out of this room. And you're going to go into the lobby. And there are tables set up like a college fair. All right. Like, you know, Duke is recruiting you. And, you know, Columbia wants you. And all the groups out there that are representing a few of the different service teams in our ministry are going to go, come on down. Right. And what we have is sign-up sheets. And you can go over there with an ink pen. No pencils in this exercise. And write your name down. And you say, oh, I don't know if I can commit. I don't know. That's okay. We have people there that help you understand what it's about. And no, you know, if you put your name down, it's not a contract. God's not gonna, you know, whatever. But we are asking you to take a leap of faith and get in there.
Amen.
And serve. Now, let me explain a little bit of what's gonna look like. So, we have the children's ministry table, the AV crew table. So children's ministry is teachers. Because of legal issues and screening, if you're not a member of the church, you're not able to serve in that capacity yet. But down the road, we'd love for you to do that. But the other ones, we want to encourage you to consider serving in, especially the crew, all right? The crew is the setup. We work with the time center to set up the equipment. We have a lot of things happening before and after church and cleaning up and helping things work and in the back and technical aspects and non-technical aspects. We really need help to make sure this works as we come into the coming year. We've got ushering. Again, these people are amazing. They come here early. They set up. We take our contribution. Many of you have served in this capacity. They come down. They escort folks into seats. They help us, especially when we had such a big service like last week. Had over 400 people in the building last week. All right, people visiting and all that. We need a lot of coordination to happen. Okay, the greeting table, we talked about it earlier. The first, you know, the faces that you see when you are those smiling faces like, man, I don't know why I came to church today. I haven't been to church in years. You know, people that we invite and they walk in and you want to see something positive, right? Like a smiling face, maybe some candy, all right? We've been doing the candy. We still have that out or is it all gone now? Still a little bit. Okay, I love those little green apple candies. Food, I'm telling you. And this is part of our service. And then I think what's really special that we're going to do is because we have a table that's going to be other ideas, things that you want to bring forth, things you bring to the table that we haven't thought about. Already that table is getting packed with different specialized groups and ministries. It's awesome. If you don't know what to do, that's okay. Put your name over there and we'll find something for you to do. Maybe you, I mentioned this on Wednesday, maybe you have ideas about campaigns or fundraisers for Hope Worldwide or for the church or for other things that we've worked with. Maybe you want to get involved with shepherding campus ministry and figuring out a way to host some of the students. They're in finals right now. They usually sit down over here. You guys okay? You alive? You awake? You surviving? They're non-responsive right now. They need shepherds in their lives. They need a meal. Please, people, feed the campus students, all right? Maybe you can offer employment. Maybe you got access to space to do a church event. Maybe you got a special skill. I'm not talking about Liam Neeson and Taken. I'm talking about maybe you can go places. Maybe you have a flexible schedule. Maybe you can help out, encourage members who can't make it to church and bring them a meal or communion or part of the message. Chemical recovery, addiction groups. There's so much we can do and we should be doing. So we got to do better. And I'm asking and challenging you to decide today to jump in. So again, if you're not a member, no problem. We want to encourage you to sign up for one of those areas for service if you want. We're going to have snacks. It's more than just cookies. My wife hooked it up today. Don't spoil your lunch, but it's going to be fun. And we're going to do that in just a minute. So look, this is God's plan for service. Service is a big word. We only touch on one part of it. And I'm proud to say, we as a church, we'd love to serve. When we get out there for 9/11 and do all that we do in the 10 weeks leading up to our 2996 campaign of service, it's incredible, the stories I hear. But we can't forget, service is a lifestyle. And it's important that we start right here in the fellowship of believers, serving one another and serving those that come in. We got a great thing going here, and we all benefit from this church. But it's a little bit like a food chain that's only 20% staff of what it needs. And it's only a matter of time, if that's the situation, till the quality starts to drop, until they'll have to close their doors. And I'm not saying that we're anywhere close to that, but that's not a good thing to think about. We want to be a healthy church where everyone has a role. Each part does its work. Let's be like Jesus. Each one of us, as a gift to him, as we think about Christmas, the church may be a nonprofit, but we are rich in Christ. Yes. We gain so much when we give. And all of this is because of Jesus, our Savior, who served his whole life and then lay his life down willingly for us. Let us pray for the communion at this time. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus. What an example that he is to us. As he served when he was tired, as he served beyond his capacity, and as he served when he didn't want to, as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he fights through prayer to go to his fate on the cross. As we take the bread and the cup, help us remember the lengths at which you have gone to save our souls with service. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.